Blue Wire.
Three on the way! Yes! Paul George nails it!
For the win!
Welcome to another episode of the B-Ball Index Podcast, a proud part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Jacob Goldstein, and I will be your sole host today. Tim is busy at the 76ers-Wizards game, where the Wizards pulled off a fantastic upset off some hot shooting from Davis Bertans and Rui Hachimura. Very exciting stuff, and that kind of relates to what I want to talk to you all about today. So what I want to talk about is my process for watching a game, for watching film. What am I looking for? What do I have in front of me? What other tools am I using at the same time to help understand what's going on in the game, to look for different insights, things of that nature. So first, I want to talk about the way I watch film. By film, I mean after a game has happened, going back, reviewing tape, trying to find a pattern, figure out what happened in a game if I didn't necessarily watch all of it. It's just kind of the way I review games that I missed. So the way I go about it is every morning the first thing I do, part of the data and tools package we offer is the advanced box score. I tweet it out relatively regularly whenever there is a important game going on. During the playoffs, I'll tweet it out in the middle of a game, kind of make that public, help other people view the game the way I'm viewing it. So what I'll do in the morning, first thing in the morning, is I'll go through all of the day's previous games and just look at the advanced box score. This gives me a high-level summary of what went on in a game, at a high level, seeing what players performed better or worse than expected, what team performed better or worse than expected, and just helps me review and stay on top of how different players and teams are performing across the league. One of the hardest things to do is just be aware of everything that's going on in the league. There's 30 teams. All of them have, 13 to 17 players on their rosters. There's G League to keep track of. There's international to keep track of. There's NCAA basketball to keep track of. So just staying on top of all the information that's coming in can be really challenging. So I gladly use a crutch, such as the advanced box score, or even before I built that, just looking at kind of the actual basic box score, the traditional box score, just to get a sense of what happened in a game. It's a great starting point. If all you have is ESPNNBA.com, look at all the box scores if you want to keep track of kind of everything going on. It'll majorly help you improve your knowledge base as to what's going on in the basketball world outside of the team you root for or outside of the game you watched the day before. So afterwards, if I notice anything that really stands out to me, something I really want to take a look at on the film, I'll go to either Synergy or 3ball.io or the NBA.com video stat site, and I'll just run through some plays. Maybe it's a quarter of a game. Maybe it's one specific player who had a really good game, a really poor game. I just want to see what happened to get a better sense of why the box score looked the way it did. The box score is great. You can learn a lot of information from it, as I've been saying, but it's ultimately a summary of final outcomes. And to really understand what's going on in a game, you have to sit down and watch the film to understand the process of why the box score looks the way it does. What was X team doing to get someone open for so many shots? Or why did someone struggle as much as they did? How did a team defend a certain player? You really have to watch the film to fully understand why the box score looks the way it does when you're talking about a single game. The strength of data is summarizing information, but at a single game level, that summary ends up cutting out too much, almost. There's a large benefit to actually sitting down and spending the 10-15 minutes to figure out why a player's stat line looked the way it did. And by doing this on a regular basis, you'll begin to just naturally build up a better understanding of what you're looking for in film and how that can be translated to a player's statistical output. So once I've figured out, you know, what player I want to watch a quarter of, or what team I want to watch a half of, or if there was a close ending sequence, just watch the last 5 minutes of a game and figure out what happened, I'll sit down and I'll do that. And normally I don't really take notes when I'm watching film, but, you know, if something big happens that I notice, I'll sometimes, you know, do a basketball reference search of a specific player's past to see if this is a trend, or, you know, just try and find some signals from the noise that occurs within a single game. Usually I'm not going to be rewatching a full game. I don't really have time for that. And I'm not a film video guy in terms of my background. So I don't really get that kind of benefit out of watching an entire game that someone like Tim, my regular co-host, would, because he is much as more an X's and O's guy and gets a better understanding of an overall team's offense, whereas my background is trying to figure out why the data looks the way it does by watching film. So my goals when I'm watching film are just different than someone who has more of a video background. Occasionally, what I'll do is I will go back through, let's say, 15 games of a player's career looking for specific actions for something I want to hand track. Ultimately, pretty much everything we track in basketball is arbitrary. Someone decided that this was important to have recorded on each game. Someone decided that a turnover is measured a specific way. Someone determined that an assist is measured a certain way. And, you know, sometimes I want to track something myself a certain way. For instance, I've spent time tracking defensive blowbys, defensive missed rotations, normally stuff in the defensive end that you don't really get out of a traditional box score. You could theoretically get out of the tracking data from Second Spectrum that teams get, but I obviously don't have access to that. So I'll sometimes go back and watch 10, 15 games of a player when they were on court, skipping around using Synergy with it on, you know, a faster speed than normal to just try and get a sense of some specific action that I'm looking out for, something I'm interested in tracking. Maybe it's something I want to find a way of modeling statistically, but to do that, I need to have a sense of what it actually looks like in reality. So that's kind of the other reason I'll really sit down and watch film. Again, the first one is go through the advanced box scores from the night before and try and look at some highlight performances or someone who struggled and just get a sense of why the box score looks the way it did based off what happened in a game, as well as going back and watching a larger sample of a specific player or team or specific action to try and find a new statistic that I could possibly track or just something I'm interested in. I don't really do a whole lot of full game reviews unless I was looking for more specifically a playoff matchup, trying to get a glean, an edge into what's going to happen in a future playoff game. So outside of that, there's obviously watching live games, which I do every single day. I'll say it's probably a 50-50 split between how often I'm watching a game just for pure enjoyment versus really trying to understand what's going on. It's just basketball. You know, if you only ever watch it to be a super serious analyst, you're going to drive yourself crazy. There's no joy in that. Basketball is the game we all love. So, I mean, I spend as much time as I can just sitting back, kind of turning my brain off and seeing what'll happen, not trying to figure out anything more advanced than, wow, this is a fun game. This is awesome to watch. And I think that's really important, just to remember that basketball is ultimately a game that we all love. And it's really important to never lose that kind of pure spirit, kind of that emotional connection you have to it, or you just become a little bit too distant from the game and you'll end up getting burned out, kind of losing interest in it. So probably about half the games I watch live, I don't really try to do any more intense analysis than wow, this is awesome. I love basketball. And I think that's a really important baseline to have. I will say, watching a live game, it's much harder to gain real specific insights as to what's going on than with film. With film, you can pause, you can go back, you can slow it down, go frame by frame. You can sometimes look for different camera angles, things of that nature. Watching a game live, you can pause and go back, but then you're behind the live game, and it's not really as conducive an environment to really going frame by frame, possession by possession, figuring out what's going on. So the types of things you can gain from watching a game live is different than what you can gain from going back through film and being able to really pause, rewind, fast forward, skip between plays. And that can really speed up the process when you're watching film, but just means when you're watching a game live, you're not going to be able to hand track a specific statistic because you don't have the time to pause and figure out what exactly, was that a missed rotation? Was it not a missed rotation? That sort of thing you cannot really glean when you're watching a game live, at least not as consistently as you can when reviewing film. Normally, when I'm watching a game live, I will end up also not watching the entire thing. I'll try and stick to a game for at least a quarter or a half, but ultimately, if there's a more interesting game going on, if there's a game that's in a more interesting end situation, or a player is on pace to score 60 points in three quarters, I'm going to switch to that game. I am watching basketball because I enjoy basketball, as I said earlier, and even if I'm doing more, I'm more intensely trying to analyze the game while I'm watching it, I still want to watch the most exciting game. I can go back in the morning and review the less exciting games through the box score and kind of that film study process I talked about, but in the moment when I'm watching a live game, I want to be seeing the most exciting one possible. So I have no qualms with jumping around because I'm at this point relatively agnostic as to rooting for a specific team. I've, for those of you who don't know, relatively speaking, denounced my Spurs fandom. And while I still would probably consider myself a Spurs fan among all the 30 teams, I'm really watching basketball because I love basketball and not one specific team. So I don't have any issues jumping between games. I don't feel a need to watch every single Spurs game anymore. So I don't really feel the need to sit down and watch an entire game. I'd rather jump between the most interesting ones at that time, usually in quarter increments and looking for specific situations, players, outlier games that are the most exciting to watch for that quarter, half, or overtime, or full game, whatever ends up being. So when I am watching more seriously, I'm always watching with the idea of what from this game matters in the future. My mind is always thinking in the way of how can I use this new information to update my preconceived notions of a team and better project how they're going to perform in the future. Occasionally, when I'm watching a game, I'll be trying to brainstorm ideas similar for when I'm watching film of things I can hand track or something I'm noticing in terms of defensive spacing on the court. I want to try and find a way to measure that. Occasionally, stuff like that will come to me. But for the most part, it's intensely watching a game, trying to find things that are predictive of the future result of a team. The tools I have open with me, I'll have those advanced box scores open with me when I'm watching a game live, or at the very least, I have this ESPN box score extension plugin, which I'm sure there's similar things that exist for every web browser, and that just adds the basic advanced statistics on top of the basic counting stats, just to get a little bit more summarized information about what's going on in a game, outside of just what I see on the court. Ultimately, the brain can only process so many things at once, so having that kind of high-level summary can be very, very beneficial for really understanding what's going on in the game, even during a live game. So I'll have either that advanced box score that we offer in the data and tools package open, or an extended box score for ESPN. At the very least, I'll have the basic box score open up on my phone. Again, just to give me a summary and kind of remind me as we're going on through a game or if I've just switched to a game, what's been going on, what's important, what should I be immediately looking for, so I don't have to spend 5 minutes watching a game just to figure out who's playing well within the game and who I should be keeping an eye on. Occasionally, I'll do some more in-depth research during a game. Like if I'll notice a player's doing a specific thing, I'll occasionally look it up to figure out if it's a trend, if it's new, if it's noise, like what I can glean from it. But that's a very rare occasion. I'm normally not trying to open up 100 tabs on my computer during a game. I want to keep it just the game, a summary of what's happened through the box score in some capacity, and just focus on that, limit as many other distracting factors as possible, because, I mean, even if I have Twitter open during a game, I'm going to end up missing something because I was focused on getting off a fire tweet. While the tweet may be fire, that's really going to throw off my perception of what's going on and kind of makes it a waste of time to really be watching that in-depthly if I have too many things going on at once. I also don't want to overly let one single game alter my opinion of a player or team too much, because it is still just one game. People have great games and bad games, and it doesn't necessarily indicate all that much about who they really are or what that team is really good at. But I do want to learn something new from every game that I'm watching intensely, or even if what I'm learning is what I thought initially was right, I suppose. I don't want to necessarily force myself to learn something new. I want to make sure that I know more after watching a quarter of a game than I did before about someone or something that's been going on in the game. So let's split it from here into what I'm looking for offensively and defensively. Offensively, I'm mostly watching for movement rather than a specific player or watching the ball. I'm trying to find the major action that is occurring at this given moment. So if someone's running a pick and roll, that's what I'm going to be watching. If the Spurs, I don't remember what the play is called. That's not my specialty. The X's and O's, I normally leave that to Tim. But for years, the Spurs used to run this play where there was Tony Parker would sprint the baseline and there'd be two screeners set for him and he'd end up on the other side. In this situation, I'd be watching Tony Parker because that's the major action going on at the time. So that's generally what I'm looking for. I'm just trying to figure out what is the offense actually trying to do at this moment in time to create an open shot. What my theory is, and the way I try and view the game, is an offense is smarter than I am, and the defense is smarter than I am. The coaches and the players know basketball better than I do. And what they are trying to do, what they view as a matchup advantage, what they view as a defensive advantage, what they're calling out, who they're trying to get shots for, there's a reason for that. This is something you'll often see in plus-minus box score statistics. You'll see it in PIPM, minutes per game, or percent of games started. These are very useful predictors for how good a player is, because it turns out coaches are smart on the whole. That is, they know what they're doing and they know they're going to give minutes to better players. They're going to start the better players. And in a similar vein, the things that are going on the court, I assume they're smart, if that makes sense. I assume they are trying something because they believe it is important, either for figuring out if it works or not, because they believe this is the best way to win a game. They're doing it for a reason. So I try and look for the major actions because this is an indicator of what the team is actually trying to do, what they believe their advantages are at this current time. I'm always watching for process offensively. A shot might go in or not, but if a team was able to generate a wide open corner three-point shot, that's good offense, even if it misses. I mean, if they're generating it for like Andre Roberson or Russell Westbrook or something like that, it's not great. But, you know, the general point stands. If a team is able to generate a good shot for that player, I suppose I should say, then it's good offense, good process. I don't care if it went in or not in terms of evaluating the game for future projection purposes. Yes, when I'm watching it for enjoyment, 50% of the time, of course, the shot going in or not is what matters. But in this specific instance, when I'm watching to really try and understand and learn something, then I only care about the process ultimately. Over a large enough sample, if a team's consistently generating corner three-point shots for a specific player and they're consistently missing, then it becomes not good process anymore. But within a single game, if you're able to generate three-point shots in the corner open for a player who, up until this point in their career, is a good three-point shooter, that's good process. Similar concept for any other type of shot created. If it's all dependent on the specific personnel, but I'm looking for the process of how a team is trying to create offense, what they believe their best path to points and scoring is at this moment in time. One other thing I'm looking out for is what matchup a team is trying to attack. And what I mean by that is teams are pretty smart. As I said before, minutes per game is a great predictor of player value for a reason. Teams believe they have matchup advantage in certain situations. They're going to try and take advantage of that. So if a team is consistently attacking Karl-Anthony Towns in the pick and roll, you know, maybe Karl-Anthony Towns isn't the best pick and roll defender in the world. We know that because we can look at the data and tell us that, but also by watching the film, you can visually get confirmation that teams really are believing this, they're really trying this, they're really attacking this because it works, and they think they have a matchup advantage that way. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns being not the greatest pick and roll defender in the world is pretty common knowledge, but that's just a general example of what I mean. And more often, these matchup advantages are more marginal than that, so you really have to be focused on them. But if a team is consistently trying to do something against a specific player or running a specific action against a certain set of defensive personnel, there's a reason for that, and that's something I'm trying to identify because that's useful information for the future. For the next time I watch these two teams play again or someone else play the same team and try something similarly, I can recall that I've seen this before, that it's worked, things like that. To just sort of learn from what teams know. Teams are smart, generally speaking, again. They do plenty of dumb things, but in this regard, they're trying something for a reason. They game planned this for a reason. Why? I want to learn that. I want to see that. And by watching what a team is doing offensively, you're able to learn a lot of information about what they believe their strengths are, where they believe a team's weaknesses are, things of that nature. So on the defensive side of the ball, I try and have a similar philosophy. Obviously, it's much harder to really watch defense live and get a full grasp of what's going on because it's so synergistic and all five players need to be in constant communication and rotating and in the right position, and you could play defense perfectly and the guy behind you misses a rotation and it's a wide open dunk. So it's very hard to evaluate defense in real time, but I try and look for similar advantages that a team believes they have. So for example, I'll generally try and focus on a backline defender or group of defenders or whoever is being visibly the most vocal or pointing out different things on the court, pointing around, telling someone to switch possibly. Draymond Green is very well known for being excellent at speaking. He'll call out opposing teams' plays as they're happening. And I'll try and find that guy and watch them because that guy knows what is going on the defensive side of the ball. He's the one QBing the defense, directing people where to go. And I think you can learn a lot of information about a team's defensive scheme and how they're trying to counteract a team's offensive scheme by watching the smartest defender on the court call out the defensive rotations, the opposing team's plays, things along those lines. And then I believe that's really invaluable to be focusing on that instead of necessarily ball watching, instead of looking for great ball denial necessarily or looking for great one-on-one defense. I think it's a lot more beneficial to try and figure out the team's whole defensive scheme by watching the smartest defensive player on the court at the time. And very often, the way you identify the smartest defensive player is, as a starting point, I'll use DPIPM. Obviously, defensive box score and on-off-base statistics are far from perfect. They're evaluating impact within the context of role, and you know it's very hard to synergistically or to split out something that's so synergistic like defense in the modern NBA. But at the very least, as a baseline, if a team has one guy who's plus three and no one else above plus one, I'm going to look for the guy who's plus three because they're probably the smartest defender on the court. They're probably the one calling things out. And if they're not, that's interesting. And I want to know why. I want to know why this player is rating really well statistically. But they, when I watch, look like they're not doing anything. They look like they're being told where to go. And that's when I would jump into film. I would go through a player's possessions and figure out why they rate well statistically and where that gap is between what actually happened on the court when I'm watching and what the numbers say. And very often that is where I try and look to find the next iteration of a statistic or something I'm trying to improve. If I notice something isn't being properly captured, I want to improve upon that. I want to make it so in the future DPIPM is more accurate to what's actually happening on court based off the way I perceive film when I watch it. Or I'll occasionally see other people point out great points about something they saw in film, and I'll look through the numbers and see why the numbers might not necessarily match up with that. Or maybe they do, and that's great. And we know we're capturing that specific type of value, but not in all cases. So kind of the way I'm watching a game live and the way I watch film too is trying to find new things to measure, trying to find what a team thinks they're good at and what they think an opposing team is bad at, and seeing if that's being captured statistically, if the data agrees with what they believe strengths and weaknesses are, because I think that's really interesting. I want to start closing the gap between data and film. They're both necessary tools to really be understanding what's going on in a game. They serve very different purposes, with film doing a very good job understanding the details of what's going on, while statistics do a great job summarizing large amounts of information. So you really need to combine both of them to have a grasp of the granular details from film along with the overall picture from the numbers. So that's how I watch a game. I try and spend at least an hour or two a day really doing this more intense watching of film. Don't always get there, and that's not the big a deal. Sometimes a game, I sit down, try and watch it to analyze it, ends up being too much fun, and I stop. Ultimately, I love basketball. It's a very fun game to watch, and it's very important to remember that it is just a game. As intensely as we argue over it and debate over it and analyze it and pore over numbers and film and all of those things, it's just a game for fun. We all love it. That's why we're arguing over it. And I think it's really important perspective to keep in mind when we're having some of these more intense debates, and especially when some of the film versus or eye test versus analytics debates come up, and they're both trying to answer the same question from different perspectives. And I think it's very important to take different paths to try and get to the same answer, because that's the only way to know that that answer is right or in the right direction. If the stats and the eye test agree, that's a really good sign. That's something we've seen in draft modeling. When a statistical draft model agrees with the Draft Express experts or Sam Bassini or the Stepien or the Red Team scouting guys, that's a really good sign, because it's taking two different perspectives to arrive at the same answer. And statistically, that is a really good sign for a prospect that they're going to excel if both systems like a player. And I believe that is the best way to answer pretty much all of the questions that we see in basketball. I don't think either eye test or analytics will ever be able to perfectly answer most of the questions we want. So we need to find the way to balance the two and get to that answer. And a big part of it is making sure that you are aware of what the other side, quote-unquote side, is thinking at the time and staying on top of things. So I always try and watch film as intensely as I can, even though I know someone like Tim will grasp far more from watching film than I will. It's still a very important process, and it's still a lot of fun. And it does a really good job then carrying back over to statistical developments, because I know what the events on court were. I know why this is occurring on court, or I can see it occurring on occurring on court, excuse me. And I want to figure out how I can measure this, or vice versa. I can measure something, and I want to see if I'm actually measuring the right thing. You need the two to answer the questions, and I think it's very important that we make sure that they both have their proper space, and they work together, because ultimately, that's when they work the best. That's when we all work the best. So yeah, that's how I watch film. That's how I watch games live. As I said, pretty often, half the time, just watching games for fun, because I love basketball and I want to enjoy the games. The other half the time, I have advanced box score open or the box score open, and I'm looking for specific actions offensively, trying to find the motion, what a team's doing defensively, what they're trying to do to counteract it, and trying to learn from what it seems like the game plan was for both teams coming into it, because they are better at watching film than me. They were better at finding these weaknesses in opposing teams than me. So I want to see what they're doing so I can learn from it and improve my own ability to watch film and pick up these weaknesses, strengths, and things of those nature. Occasionally, as I said, it'll lead to more in-depth film study, and I'll, every day in the morning, make sure that I'm aware of what's going on, just by going through box scores, doing a little bit of film. But for the most part, that is my process for understanding what's going on in basketball. And the other part of it that I would say is incredibly important, outside of watching as much as you can, studying data as much as you can, listen to good podcasts, read great writers. Other people are able to glean different things off of watching film than you can. And if there's 10 people watching film, all of them will have a different answer, and all of those answers might be perfectly valid. So it's really important, I think, to understand other people's perspectives you might not necessarily agree with when it comes to what they're seeing on the basketball court, and trying to incorporate their knowledge into your own to better improve your basketball watching experience, to better improve your basketball knowledge. And I think that is the last piece of the puzzle to really completing your basketball viewing experience and to encapsulating the knowledge perfectly for yourself. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I believe Tim will be back with us next week if he has recovered from watching Davis Bertans destroy the 76ers. Hopefully he has. But I would like to thank you for tuning in and listening just to the way I go about watching games, watching film. And I would love to hear about the way you guys do it, because honestly, I could probably learn something by just someone else, listening to someone else's process of how they watch film, of how they watch a game. It might give me an idea of how to better improve the way I watch film and I watch a game. So yeah, if you want to, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to learn about your process, how you watch film, and what you're looking for. So maybe I can incorporate that into my own film watching and better myself. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a fantastic week, and we will be with you again next time. Bye-bye.